Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Nice to be with you on this Saturday afternoon. Still plenty to come. Remember, at 2 o'clock, Triple M listeners will hear the Swans taking on the Gold Coast. You can continue to listen to us after two by going to the Triple M NRL app. We've got plenty in the couple of hours we have to share with you. We'll chat with Steve Menzies, of course, who will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him. Right now, though, all the talk after Friday Night Footy last night has been the controversy, quite sadly. The Sharks and the Raiders. The Sharks were superb in that first half. Looked far and away the better side. Then the second half, the Raiders did make their trademark comeback. Now, many people have said that that was spoiled by the officials on the field and in the bunker. Right now, we have Bernard Sutton, the referee's boss, who joined us. G'day, mate.
Hello, guys.
Now, the decision last night, and I know it's been a very tough evening, I'd imagine, for you, on top of a tough couple of weeks. The decision, the flag goes in the air, the Canberra players stop, it goes through, a try is said, no try goes to the bunker, it is a try, there's a forward pass. That decision, that first decision, has been criticised clearly by commentators, but also those on social media. I think it was Brayton Astor on Fox Sports who described it as the worst decision in the history of the NRL. What are your thoughts?
Well, ultimately, Tony, yeah, the decision is incorrect. And the touch judge, he erred in raising his flag. And he should have made the referees aware that he had done so and stopped the game.
Bernie, when you're watching it, like there's, you know, whether you're an analyst or just a fan of the game, and you see an error that's been made by the linesman, which we all kind of understand because, you know, you guys are under a lot of pressure when they're down there in the heat of the battle. But then when it goes upstairs and you've got qualified professionals overlooking or overseeing the decision then, and they can actually, they can take all of the pain and all the argument out of the whole moment and they get it wrong, what are they actually tell you when you go in and speak to them on a Monday? What are they actually seeing up there that we're not seeing that's so blatantly obvious that there's an error and the try that should not be awarded?
Yeah, so when that was sent through to the bunker, it was sent through to review a potential knock-on in the lead-up by the Sharks, and that is essentially what the bunker reviewed. They weren't focused on a touch judge and whether a touch judge had raised his flag. And I come back to the error really is owned by the on-field officials. And the touch judge needed to make the team aware that he had raised his flag.
But didn't we spend all that money on the bunker so that, you know, we could eliminate the howler? And isn't it in the best interest of the game if we can all see it and they can see it up there? Why can't they just say, well, the linesman's got his flag up, the players have stopped, it's certainly not the Raiders' fault, we need to go back and we need to take that into consideration before we award this try? Why can't they do that?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing here is obviously a human error by the touch judge. And the fault really does lie there, that he needed to communicate that he had raised his flag. And at no point, and that's where the error is generated from, he hasn't actually communicated that to anybody.
But so they can see no one, Bernard. They can actually see it. We can all see it there on the review. We can see that his flag went up. Why can't the guys in the bunker see that and rule on that?
No one was actually aware at that point that he'd raised his flag.
Bernard, can I check this? Is it right? I saw Luke Phillips put this up on social media last night. Is it right that if a touch judge puts his flag up, then you're not supposed to go to the bunker anyway, according to the rule book?
Generally, that's correct. There are some circumstances where if a player was going into the corner to attempt to ground the ball for a try, and in that same motion, the touch judge raised his flag, you could still confirm that the ball had been grounded prior to going into touch. But in the situation you saw last night, yes, the game should have stopped. and it certainly shouldn't have been referred through to the bunker for a try.
Bernard, is it fair to say that the current state of refereeing under your watch is unacceptable at the moment?
No, I disagree with that statement.
Based on what,
Bernard? Because last week we had the Curtis Scott, Suliasli, Vunivalu, and then we had the Sean O'Sullivan try that was another howler. So over the course of the last, what is it, seven days, we've had three howlers. That's not a bad strike rate.
Well, we're in a game where there can be some human error. And, yep, we've seen a couple of instances in the last two rounds of that occurring. But we are working really hard to ensure that we improve our performance, and I'm really confident we'll see that over the coming weeks.
One person, of course, who was affected was the coach, Ricky Stewart, from Canberra. Now, he's obviously had a bit of a history. I thought he was pretty circumspect in the post-game media conference. Bernard, if you could just beg your indulgence, I might play a little bit of what Ricky had to say so you can have a chat off the back. Here he is.
People are turning off rugby league, and it's sad because I don't blame the referees. They've got a very, very tough job, but too many voices around them are making it too hard for them. I believe we've got very, very competent referees, and I believe their training and the work they do in regards to preparation to getting to a game is professional as it can be. We have too much noise. We have too many people around them not letting them do their job. And for one, the bunker is a waste of time. The referee to be able to use it as a tool for I don't know, is wrong.
That's Ricky Stewart there. Bernard, if we could just take that in half, let's go with the first thing about too many voices around the officials on the field. Do you believe that to be the case?
Well, what I take out of Ricky's comment there, and I've spoken to Ricky this morning and put some context around some of his comments, and Ricky said there that he believes the referees are prepared in a really professional manner and as well as they possibly can be. So that's what I take out of it, that yes, we need to continue to prepare our officials and continue to give them confidence to be able to make decisions.
Bernard, have we got the right officials in the bunker? I mean, it's just really hard to fathom that, you know, these decisions that are getting sent upstairs that are so blatantly obvious for everyone to see, even people that are untrained that just watch the game, they seem to be able to know and understand what the decision should be, but the trained officials seem to be getting them wrong. How does that happen?
Yeah, obviously we had an error last week with the O'Sullivan try, and that comes down to a human error. What I do know is that the system we have in the bunker is far more efficient and generally more accurate than the model which we previously had if we go back to the 2015 season, when it was the old video referee sitting in the grandstand. So I'm really confident that the bunker is the right system for the NRL.
So is it the people in the bunker? Do we need new people in the bunker? Because what do we need to change to make sure that going into the finals we're not having these same discussions?
Yeah, we're working really hard around that to make sure we're improving our performance and to nail our decisions as we go forward into the finals, definitely.
Bernard, you see, Todd Greenberg, the boss, he came out and said when the bunker was first introduced that we wanted a 0% error rate. So clearly we're 1,000 miles away from that. What I want to ask you specifically, Tony touched on Ricky Stewart and what he had to say after the game before. Is it right, did you reach out to Ricky Stewart last night before he actually attended the press conference?
I made an offer, mate, through our media manager that if either coach wanted to speak to me prior to the press conference, that I was willing to do so.
So what are you doing there? What are you hoping to achieve there?
I was just happy to have a chat with Ricky, give him some clarity around some of the decisions.
What is the clarity around the decisions from last night?
Well, I'm certainly willing to put my hand up around the touch judge flag up, flag down incident.
Aren't you just hanging the touch judge out to dry when you've got guys up there in the box that can review it and see it was plain and simple to see that he had his flag up? Shouldn't they then look after the linesman who made the wrong decision? And isn't the whole thing about the bunker is getting the decision right, even if it's not protocol, but everyone can see that his flag was up, so that shouldn't have been a try. Everyone stopped. Isn't it about getting the decision right as opposed to following protocol that clearly doesn't work?
Yeah, I guess I really didn't see it as hanging anybody out. It was really more, you know, as an officiating department, we want to be held accountable. And in me offering to speak to either coach at that point was really me saying that, you know, this is, I'm here and we are willing to be accountable for our decision.
Hey, Bernard, just quickly, so is there a lack of confidence with, like, touch judges and obviously the people in the, you know, the box there now? You know, you talk about being a team as in a rugby league team, but is there a lack of confidence in and around that now?
No, I don't necessarily think so. Obviously, we work in a very difficult environment. It's quite a complex game to officiate. There's no doubt about that. There's no other sports in the world where the officials are responsible for determining the speed of play, which is through the ruck in rugby league, and also refereeing the distance which the teams are apart in the 10 metres. So there are a number of complexities to officiating it, and occasionally we see a human error, which is what we saw last night.
All right, let's talk specifics, Bernard. So the Katoa try, which we're all in agreement shouldn't have been a try. Now, are you still suggesting that the Jesse Ramian touch, are you saying that there wasn't a touch there and therefore it was actually okay, the process that the bunker followed, or?
Well, having looked through the angles which are available back in the bunker.
Don't give us that. That's a cop-out, mate. Come on.
It certainly appears that there's no touch there, so there's no knock-on in the process of that.
Right. Well, a lot of people disagree and dispute that. Right. Now let's talk about the BJ Leilua forward pass. Was that forward or not?
Well, they're always a very subjective one, the forward passes, but in my opinion, it's not a forward pass.
Yeah, nice. Mate,
right,
great,
that's
honesty,
honest.
Mate.
Thank you. And then what about the Josh Hodgson strip right at the very end? He stripped the ball and it goes back towards his own goalpost. So I can't work out how that's a knock-on.
Well, I'm quite comfortable when you look at his position in relation to the ball carrier that he does pull the ball forward.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm not with you there, mate. You're on your own there, buddy.
Ricky Stewart talked about the fact that it was a job for those guys, and we all know that it's a job for your blokes as well. What happens to them? Those guys are all involved from the bunker through. What happens to them for next week?
Well, obviously, we'll break it down, but what we've been really consistent on this year is if people make incorrect critical decisions which impact on the outcome of games, we've dealt with those people very consistently. So we'll sit down as an appointments committee on Monday and go back through the weekend's games, and we'll deal with a number of issues across the weekend, I'm sure.
Reviews on top of reviews on top of reviews, unfortunately, Bernard, aren't going to help the coaches or the players or the fans, who are all absolutely at their wits' end with some of these decisions. So, look, we wish you all the best. We hope that, you know, we don't want these sorts of decisions
in the final series
impacting on the final series or even on these critical games over the course of the next 6 or 7 weeks, because if it costs a team their season, it's going to be really hard for clubs to digest, as it is for Ricky Stewart and all of the Raiders players and fans today.
Yeah, as I say, guys, I put my hand up and say, yes, we got that wrong last night, but I can assure everyone that we're working very hard to ensure that we're improving our performance, and as we come into finals, I expect improved performances again.
All right, well, Bernard Sutton, we appreciate you fronting up today. Thanks so much, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
There he is, the referee's boss, Bernard Sutton, who would be taking plenty of calls, you would imagine. Hoops.
He'd be under siege. I thought Gerds did a good job with a lot of his questions.
I still don't understand why the guys in the bunker don't have total autonomy on the decision, and the linesman put the flag up, but they need to ignore that because that's not protocol.
It's all the letter of the law, isn't it?
That just doesn't make any. It takes all the common sense out of having the bunker there. I know there's a lot of discussion about the forward passes, and I kind of understand that. I don't want to give the bunker any more work. I don't want they could get rid of the thing, it wouldn't bother me. I do understand that, you know, there's elements that we do need it, and it is to the betterment of the game. So I don't want to give them more work, and the forward pass might do that. But once it's up there, if there's something so blatantly obvious that's not in protocol, that's just common sense, need to act on it, Tony.
They need to delve into the grey areas, even though what they've been instructed to do is only black and white. And it's a game where there are plenty of grey areas. And in that case, like, you're exactly right. The flag goes up, that decision over.
The play
is stopped. Common sense. Yep. It's about feel for the game. And sadly, last night, there was a lack of both. Even then, for Bernie to be saying that he's had another look at, we need to sit down. Don't tell me you need to do another review about another review. Please. Everybody's seen that vision 1,000 times, right? Ramian either touches it or he doesn't make a decision. Well, he's of the view that he didn't. Yet I've spoken to, look, it is one of those ones.
Do you still think he touched it?
I've
had a lot of people tell me that they think he did.
I don't think he touched it.
So if it's sent up as a no try and you've got a 50-50 split, you can't overturn the decision.
That's right. I can understand that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's not even bringing into play the touch judge.
What do you think, Tony?
That ends the discussion.
That he did touch it. That's why he put the flag up in the first place.
He was standing 2 meters away from
him.
But they're
not
allowed to look at him.
Do you think he touched it?
Yeah, I think he touched it.
Okay.
I think he touched it. Yeah. But I'm with these guys. I think as soon as those guys stop with the flag in the air and a referee with a whistle in his mouth, that's end of section for me. And I think a man in the bunker, as Gerds has been trying to point out, rather than going, okay, I'm allowed to rule on this, I'm allowed to rule, I'm not allowed to rule on that, he looks at it as somebody who watches a lot of football and says, you know what, over.
It's like the Sean O'Sullivan one last Sunday.
That was
going, hold on a minute, take the post out of it. I'm going, what do you mean take the post out of it? It hit the post! What are you talking about? How do you just take the post
out
of
it? You know what the problem is, Tony? There's way too many people touching it at the moment.
imagine going back to, this is my first try in the NRL, like this is it here.
Gavin from Penrith has given us a call at 133353. G'day, Gavin.
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Thoughts?
Hey, my thoughts on this. Mate, Origin 3, the touch judge Chris Butler, he did the exact same thing. He raised his flag when the ball clearly never went into touch. Mm. Josh Adokar clearly never went into touch. Yeah. Yet we haven't heard a thing about this. Last night, that touch judge, as you guys have been saying all day, was 2 metres away when he's seen the ball clearly hit that Ramian's arm. He puts his flag in the air. That's an error. That's human error. We've got to live with that in part of the rugby league.
Yeah.
This bunker has cost us so much money in the game, yet everyone but Bernard Sutton and the people in the bunker fail to see the fact that they've got it wrong. And we're hanging this kid out to
That's
dry.
That's what I couldn't agree with you more, Gav. This poor linesman, like spur of the moment, reacted to something that he saw, and then it all falls on him. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, Gavin, thank you for your call. 133353, as I said, is our number. You can talk about that or ask the boys any questions you like. Love to hear from you on Saturday. Triple M NRL for Iveco.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Thanks to Ream. From the Triple M network across Australia. You've never heard the footy like this. Triple M rocks the footy. This is Triple M Footy.
And remember, you can hear every second of Triple M Footy wherever you are. Just download the Triple M NRL app. Remember, you should do that immediately because after two, that is the only way you will hear us. Triple M listeners will be taking the Swans playing the Gold Coast at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Right now, we've just spoken to Bernard Sutton, of course, the referee's boss, who admits there were errors last night in the Sharkies game against the Raiders that did rob the Raiders of opportunity in the second half to make what would have been an amazing comeback. You can't blame the officials for Canberra's saying, you know, they've taken semi-finals out from them. That's a bit of a long bow, but certainly...
They had plenty of chances.
It was ugly. Obviously, people are upset. Ricky Stewart's upset. Hoops was upset. we've gone to the phones. Steve has given us a call on 133353. G'day, Steve.
How you going, boys?
Good. What are your thoughts, mate?
Oh, I just want to know how Bernard Sutton's trying to say that the referee never knew the touch he lifted his flag. Like, yeah, the guy had the referee, the whistle in his mouth, mate.
Yeah.
So he must have seen him. Like, what?
It doesn't make a lot of sense,
Steve.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, mate. Like, you know, because all the players saw it. There's two referees on there. And there's the bunker, but they're not allowed to see the touch zone.
No, that's right. Yeah.
They've got blinkers on. They can only see certain things.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all because it's the reason why the players stopped.
If I'm the boss of the referees, I'm going in there to the guys in the bunker on Monday and saying, boys, what are you doing? Mm. Like, you know, the linesman's got his flag up there. You've got to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie, g'day.
G'day, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, mate.
Couple of questions or points I want to make. Number one, it's a pretty simple one. Have we just complicated the crap out of a very simple game?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Sick.
Like, is there an agenda? Do they sit around in meetings and talk about agendas at the start of the year to go, all right, boys, we're going to give away 20 penalties, or, you know, we send out emails during the week. we're going to concentrate on this. Surely we just, you know, we've got 13 blokes, we're back 10 metres, run up to six and kick. what are we trying to do here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you've got referees. I can tell you the name of 10 first-grade referees. My son plays AFL. I watch it every week. I wouldn't have a clue what the names of the referees are in the AFL.
That's a very fair point.
If we're going to sit back and have a review, surely we sit back and go, hang on a second, what are these guys doing that we're not doing? We've got a simple game that we've complicated, and now we just don't know. We're out of control. Let's just toss it out the window. I'd rather had no bunker and cop some mistakes than the bullshit that goes on every day of the week in this game.
Mate, so, well said.
That's my thought.
And
that's
my spray. Yeah. Is absolutely right. And I mean, it's clear in terms of the referees knowing who each referee is and the umpires in the AFL is a very different story. And the complication of the process, I think, is what you were trying to talk to Bernard Sutton about. There is so much in terms of that information for them, isn't it? Yeah, Hoops.
Well, as Ricky Stewart alluded to in his press conference last night, you can go right back to round one. And now we all understand why we wanted to clean up the play the ball and we wanted players putting their foot on the play the ball. But on top of that, we doubled down with all this nitpicking about the 10 metres and then being inside the 10 metres in your own 20 metre zone. Then all of a sudden, the sin bins went out of control.
Yep.
So we've had 100,000 sin bins, more so at this point in the year than what we had all season last year or the year before. So, and then we get Todd Greenberg coming out about 6 weeks ago saying, now drop the nitpicking.
Yeah,
so
just the solution's a pineapple.
It is hard to follow.
Yeah. Jen's given us a call. G'day, Jen.
Hey, how you going? Yeah. I just think, really, the players that need to take some responsibility, you don't stop until the whistle's blown. The bunker should be gone and the on-field ref and the sideline should have full control. If they're going to get it wrong, they get it wrong.
That is an argument.
He put his whistle up or he put his leg up. We don't teach our kids to play like that.
No, but
in some ways, isn't there, Jen, a flag going up from the touch is pretty much
like
the equivalent to the whistle blower. He's saying stop. Play doesn't go on. So
I think players these days, I mean, you know, like it or not, you need to kind of play to the whistle a little bit because you know there's guy knocks the football on in front of you, picks it up, the whistle doesn't go, you still can't charge in and jam him, you know. And I mean, so they're reacting to the officials all the time. It was a rare one last night. I don't think we'll see it again. Well, hopefully we won't see it again. But, you know, the players, I don't think you can hold
the Raiders players
accountable for that, Tony.
No, I agree.
I really don't.
Okay. The problem is that can we completely believe that? I don't think that will happen again. Given the same set of circumstances, can we believe that this exact same scenario won't play out?
I feel like we've already had this conversation three or four times this
season.
Where we've said, oh, no, it was an anomaly last night. Thankfully, we won't see it again. And people have been apologising and telling us that, people will be accountable and it was human error and all the rest of it. I hope it doesn't happen again. I hope we don't have this conversation again.
But even at the end,
mate, when that ball was raked out, like there was no knock on that. It was, and then for him to say that,
I disagree with Bernie on that one.
Yeah, give yourself a crowbeck, mate.
All right, it is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Iveco. Steve Menzies still to come.
What's up, the Foxy? Foxy, yeah, Jimmy. Foxy.
That's scary.
Is that a problem? Is it
human resources? Something. Okay, so Brisbane Broncos this week, what a signing. The announcement of this young bloke, only 18 years of age. Gerd's joke before that the great Shane Webke would have fallen off the tractor or tipped the tractor over when he heard about Payne Haas's deal. 6 years, $3.4 million. But it doesn't stop there. So the Brisbane Broncos, as we know at the moment, they've got this terrific crop of kids coming through. Jermaine Asako's one.
Mate, sensational.
The Roosters have been chasing him. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he'll be one of the next to sign. Tevita Pangai Jr.
Yes.
Is another. I think
Lovely.
He's staying at Red Hill. Jaden Sewer is another.
Woo.
I think he's staying as well. And Matt Lodge has agreed to a 2-year deal. It hasn't officially been registered by the NRL yet, but I can't see why it won't. So great times for Wayne Bennett and the Brisbane Broncos up there at the moment.
Is it true, Hoops, that they're trying to get their roster together so when Wayne moves on in 2019 and Desi comes in, they're sorted?
I think they'd still like a halfback. I think they'd still deal.
They'd have to be in the market for a seven, wouldn't they?
They are for sure, yeah. No, they're looking for an organising number seven. I know Riley Jacks was linked to the Brisbane Broncos recently.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think it was actually a fair way down the track, and then Wayne Bennett might have actually stepped in and said, no, I don't want to go down that road, because they're only going to sign him for 12 months.
Yeah.
So they've obviously got something bigger picture in mind.
Speaking of bigger questions, a question without notice to you, Hoops. So the Wayne Bennett, he signed to 2019. I read that he had asked for an extension at the end of 2020. That's been knocked back.
Yeah, he's asked for an extension. I think he asked for an extension a while ago. But he's also put a proposal to the board where he moves into a position, let's call it general manager, similar to what Phil Gould does out at the Penrith Panthers, and that Jason Demetrio, his assistant coach at the Broncos at the moment,
he's had some success,
becomes
with
the head coach. So he's put that proposal to the board, probably going back about a month now, Tone, but they haven't moved that quickly on it, which makes me think that there's still a lot going on behind the scenes. From a Brisbane Broncos power broker's point of view, we know they made that play for Craig Bellamy. You keep hearing Anthony Seibold's name linked to the club. Ivan Cleary got tossed up recently as well. I think there is a lot going on behind the scenes, and I'm not sure they're settled yet on who's going to be their coach beyond when Wayne does finish, which will definitely be as head coach at the end of next year.
Okay.
The Dogs and David Clemmer. Uh-huh. So it's been all over the headlines for the last 4 or 5 days. I know the Bulldogs are on the front foot this morning. Their CEO, Andrew Hill, saying hands off, absolutely no uncertain terms. David Clemmer is staying at the Bulldogs long term. Look, the reality is he is signed for next season and the year after. But as we know in rugby league, contracts often aren't worth the paper that they're written on, as Gerge draws a nice little doodle on this paper in front of us. And contracts often aren't worth the paper that they're written on, Tome. So I just get the feeling that I know the Newcastle Knights are monitoring this situation really closely. They haven't come in. They haven't offered David Clemmer anything. But if David Clemmer did want to make the move north to Newcastle, there would be upwards of $750,000 a season as a contract sitting there for him.
Well,
be enticing.
Absolutely. But why would the Bulldogs be so fervent about it? As you said, they're straight on the front foot saying he's our forward leader, he's the guy we're putting our faith in, he's staying hands off.
Well, because he's a current New South Wales and Australian front row. And salary cap.
Yeah, why would they go in the media and do that if it's not the case? Do you think they desperately want him, but you're not sure whether he wants to be there?
I think, of course, Canterbury want him to stay. The Bulldogs want him to stay. And everything that we've seen from Dave publicly up until now says that he wants to stay as well. But we've all been around rugby league long enough to understand that often there's things going on behind the scenes that not everyone's privy to. And I just get the feeling that I know Newcastle, they're really cashed up. And they have absolutely got him identified as their number one target with a bullet. He's the man that they want as their gun middle forward. And if they can somehow manoeuvre it, Nathan Brown's already asked Lynn Anderson. He's already asked Chris Anderson. They laughed at him. Right. This is a funny story. They bumped one another. Brownie had been down in Sydney for something. And he was on the way back up the F3, and he's pulled into the last little service station truck stop before you get back on. And he's bumped into Lynn and Chris Anderson. At the same joint, they were going up the coast with their grandkids. And he said, "Oh, listen, I know you guys are a bit of a jam salary cap wise. Don't suppose you want to get rid of David Clemmer." And Chris Anderson just laughed. You played under Opie.
Yeah.
You
would have seen the funny side of that.
He's got a great sense of humour.
He said, "No, it won't be happening." So we've seen again from their CEO in the paper today that they don't want it to happen and they want David Clemmer to be at the Bulldogs, but it's a tough road at the Bulldogs at the moment.
Well, speaking of the Bulldogs, I see Brett Morris. Is the Roosters thing a happening thing?
Yeah, I think it is.
New David Jones food hall in Bondi Junction? Is that where I'll be looking at Brett? Is that where you hang out? Yeah, just getting some nice.
He might find you in silk ties and haberdashery.
Humphrey! Haberdashery.
Brett Morris, absolutely. So this is a really astute piece of recruiting from the Sydney Roosters. So Blake Ferguson leaves. Look, he got a terrific deal with the Eels.
Yep.
But if they'd wanted to keep him, they probably would have had to pay $500,000, $600,000 a season to keep Blake. Now, instead, they've got this seasoned international in Ryan Hall, the England international.
Tell us a little about him, Hoops.
He's a big unit. He's a weapon. He's not as tall as Wendell, but he's a similar
build. He's a world-class finisher.
Six foot.
31.
He's 31 years of age. He's won 6 premierships with the Rhinos over there. The Rhinos are going average in the UK Super League at the moment, but he's just a prolific. How many tries has he scored?
Has he played a few tests?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
like 30 plus.
He's been a mainstay,
He's been a mainstay. In terms of, as a POM, he's a big name.
Okay.
And he's experienced. And then fancy getting Brett Morris as well. So basically, for the money that they would have spent on Blake Ferguson, probably a tick over, I think the Brett Morris deal will be announced in the middle of next week. And what a pickup for them, because James Tedesco will be in Origin again next year, injury provided. Mm. And so they've got a perfect foil in terms of somebody who can fill in at fullback, fill in on the wing.
Where's Tupou? He just signed a recent deal too, didn't he? So
I don't know if he just signed recently, but he certainly signed for next season.
I don't know about you, Dil. I think he's had a really good year. I know he's been injured a lot, but I know he lost his spot for New South Wales a couple of years ago, but I tell you what, he seems to be playing better than ever.
Yeah, Tupou, just his confidence. We know how good he is in the air, but just his decision-making sometimes. But he's done well, and he's back, getting back to that where he's with representative player, you know?
All right, Hoops, one of the best of What Does the Fox Say?
Nice.
Extremely entertaining
it's
and informative, as is always. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. I'll talk to Steve Menzies soon.
You'll hear it all on Triple M Footy, because you've never heard the footy like this. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to have your company on a Saturday afternoon, and it's terrific to once more be sitting in the same room as Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Wendell Saylor. My name is Tony Squires. Del, the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
The latest inductees. Huge glittering ceremony going to happen in August, but they have been named this week. Can you just run me through the list there?
Yeah, well, the Kiwi legend, Mark Graham. Uh-huh. Cliffy Lyons, mate, you know, no doubt there, he's special. Ricky Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Gordon Tellis, mate, beautiful, mate, the big raging bull. Petro Sivanaseva.
Mm-hmm.
And also one of my favourites, Steve Menzies.
Steve Menzies. Yeah, why the hell wouldn't we immediately speak to that legend? He joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks very much, boys. Thanks for having me on again. Mm. I prefer to come in and see you guys face-to-face, but this is second best.
All you had to do was get in the car and drive here. We weren't holding you back.
It's a long way to go for a five-minute chat, Beef. We know you're a busy man on a Saturday.
You guys are worth it, though. You guys are worth it.
Absolutely. Have you had a get-together yet, or you're waiting till the big function to gather and celebrate what is an amazing achievement for you and those other guys?
Yeah, look, it is. It's obviously August 1. They're going to have the event, and we'll get together then. Look, it's a huge honour, and very proud to obviously be selected. It's it's quite humbling, you know, standing alongside some of those names that that have been inducted.
Hey, Beef, I know it's a great honour for you and your family, and mate, you know you've been a special player for a long time. But mate, when did you find out? Who contacted you, and what was the feeling? Because I know your wife Sue would have been very proud of you also.
Yeah, look, Frankie Pulitua called me early in the week, which I was, he sort of said, you're obviously one of the 25 nominees and you've made the final six. And I sort of said, thanks. And I was a bit lost for words, I was a bit overwhelming. It was a bit of a shock, but once it sort of settled in, it was, a great honour. And I suppose I've been, then you start sort of going back and thinking everyone that's had some involvement in your career as a junior and as a senior player and people that have helped you along the way. And it is an individual award, but it's there's so many people that have helped you get, I suppose, achieve your own personal dreams.
Hey, Boov, how long after Cliffy found out he was also in it did he call you to thank you? Because without you, I mean, Cliffy Lyons certainly wouldn't have made the Hall of Fame.
You're a fair judge. Look, it's the first time anyone's ever said that to me, Gert, but you're the fairest judge. Look, when you have one of those combinations with someone and it... it's just, where they're going to be and what's the hell it works. And it's, I like to think it was at least 50-50.
Hey, we know you played 349 games out here with the Manly Seagulls, but then by the time you add up all your games overseas as well, mate, do you know how many games you played in total? Is it over 500?
He'd have no idea. He would have no idea.
I don't have any idea, but other people have worked it. I'm not very good at maths. Other people have worked it out. Now, I think it's...
Aren't you in finance, games, Beef?
Yeah. No, that's a joke. That was a joke. I'm really good at maths. I think it's over 500 games. I was able to play for a long time, and I'm very, very lucky that I could. I can't walk into these cushy jobs like Gert sits there drinking coffee all day. Windows on
with
TV
you,
with you, you're just wearing a suit while you do it.
Are you still
bring up the free coffee you owe me? Let's not bring
right. Are you still ambassadorising, Boover?
I ambassadise as much as possible for the mighty Seagulls and also New South Wales Rugby League. which is a good time to be involved with them.
You're in the Hall of Fame. Is the headgear in any kind of museum at all? What happens with that?
Well, I think I've got about three left, and it was years ago they had it at Rugby League Central. They had like a history of rugby league, and they requested, can we have one of your headgears to put into like the ancient section? So I was in there for like a year or something. Yeah, I had to like sign it in like I was a child and sign it out, literally.
They
returned it. It was in there as a relic or some type of thing. But I put it on these days and just look in the mirror and just go, you look like an idiot. But it was just part of me. That's I grabbed my boots, my mouth guard, grabbed the weird looking headgear.
Well, who wins the comp this year, Boo? Who do you like?
It's a tough comp. I like Penrith, but I think they're just off the ball a bit. You know, the Rabbits are looking strong. Sharks, you know, Melbourne, I think they can go to another level. Semi-finals. It's the Seagulls are probably just out of it this year. But other than that, the other three.
Hey, Boo, your young bloke plays a bit of footy. How's he go, mate?
Not too bad. He runs around. He does all right. It's he's not big on the tackling. He doesn't mind running the ball. And then, like, he's getting better getting off the line, but we'll be watching him get in there. Other kids are running tackling. He's doing the floss. You know that kid moving?
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's, mate, what are you doing the floss for? Someone's got to try. He plays soccer as well.
Good.
He enjoys it so much. It's about having fun, so if he's doing the floss and enjoying it.
But I see your daughter, she's played a bit of footy, a bit of touch and stuff too, hasn't she?
Yeah, she loves the touch. She plays a bit of netball as well, but they're into their sports. It's good fun, and it's, you know, you can appreciate what your parents went through, you know, and appreciate what they did for you. You're dropping them to sports here and there, and are pretty much the taxi for them.
Is the floss that dance move you were doing last Friday at the Stain when we were out?
I think it was Saturday morning, but yes.
Please don't use the words floss and stain in the same sentence.
It's a pain in Manly, Tony.
I'll show you next time, Gerd. Next time I'm in
the... I know all about the floss, brother.
Hey, Beef, what about some of your favourite memories? Like, you've gone on kangaroo tours with Gerds and Wendell, you've played for New South Wales, you've won premierships. What really stands out as some of your highlight moments?
Yeah, I think premierships are the number one. You know, you work so hard. I've been lucky enough to play for Australia, the greatest honour I've achieved. New South Wales Origin victories, but to work, you know, can take years and years just to make a grand final, and then finally to win one is probably the 2008 is probably the pinnacle. And like you mentioned, early in my career, going on that as a young 20-year-old with my good mate Wendell there as a going on the last kangaroo tour in 1994 as a young kid, you know, sit on that plane next to Ricky Stewart, Brad Clyde, Mal Meninga, these types of guys, just such an amazing experience. So I've been very lucky.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Well done, mate.
Congratulations, mate. Well deserved.
Yeah, you deserve every accolade you get. Thanks so much for having a chat.
Cheers, boys. My pleasure. Thank you.
There he is, a great man, Steve Beaver Menzies.
Refuses to pay for a coffee at my place.
Is that right?
Just sits down.
Oh, really?
And just expects me to pick up the tab every time.
Never liked him. All right, let's just have a quick before we go. And as I mentioned, you can follow us in the last hour by getting the Triple M NRL app. Triple M listeners will be taking in the Sydney Swans, taking on the Gold Coast Suns from the Sydney Cricket Ground. But before we do go, your thoughts just quickly, Wendell Saylor, the South Tigers game?
Yeah, look, I mean, the Tigers, they played some pretty good football last week. South, there's just so much to play for today. Obviously, 300, John Sutton, Robbie Farah, 250. I'm going to go South in a tight one.
I did love the emotion of John Sutton when the mural was revealed for his 300th.
Beautiful.
He teared up. That's one of the great things, isn't it?
He did choke up a little bit, John. Yeah, look, he's a rogue, John Sutton. What a tremendous warrior as a player. To think that he's the first South Sydney player to reach the milestone of 300 NRL matches, it's such a tremendous honour, and I'm really happy that the bloke who led the Bunnies to their first premiership in 43 seasons is also the man who does it.
And do they get the job done for him today?
Yeah, I think they do, but impressed with the Tigers last week, and I think they'll put in a hell of a fight today.
All right, sadly for those Triple M listeners, this is where we leave. You do get the Sydney Swans taking on the Gold Coast Suns from the SCG. For the rest of us, go to the Triple M app.
Enjoy the bounce.
See ya.
Triple M rocks the footy. Thanks to Ream.